Welcome to the No Lux Left Behind podcast, the world's first podcast dedicated solely to unboxing the allure of luxury handbags and the resale market.
We're Monica and Erica, luxury consignment entrepreneurs with over a decade of experience. Whether you're a shopper, a seller, or listening for the laughs, you'll always get unfiltered knowledge here. Let's get started.
And we are talking about
the state of the handbag.
The state of the handbag as it is closing 2022 and going into 2023.
Absolutely.
Which is so much insane, right?
I know. There's so much to talk about what happened, about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
From our perspective.
Personal opinions. So these are all personal opinions, y'all. We are not,
We're not accountants.
We're not accountants.
We're not lawyers. But we are Chatty Cathy's.
And we are in the luxury resale space. So, hey, it is what it is. So on this episode, just to give you a brief overview, we are going to touch on styles, what's coming up, what is trending for going into 2023, into the new year. Craziness that we're already, like, talking about this.
It's wild.
We're going to talk about something really important to us, which is a fun project that we have launched.
Yes.
Near and dear to our hearts. And then also we're going to discuss a little bit about what everybody's talking about, which is a potential recession.
And what that means for the handbag, y'all.
What that means
for the state of the handbag.
Yeah. All right. So let's dive in.
Let's do it.
Let's start off like real fun here though. Styles. What's happening? What's trending for going into 2023? So all things Y2K. What does that mean?
Let's talk about the faux first.
Yes. So the umbrella is Y2K.
Yes.
Right? And under the umbrella of Y2K.
Okay. So I'm going to start with faux furs because I love faux furs. And they're fun. They're romantic. They're non-apologetic. They're just so cool and like kind of effortless. You can literally be wearing like a white tank and jeans.
Yes.
And put on like a furry handbag, like something fun, interesting. Even in like poppy colors, like lavender or light blue, sky blue, robin's egg blue, cerulean blue. Like you can just wear like pinks and purples and lavenders. And I just think faux furs are super cool and they're definitely a trend.
A trend for sure. We're going into 2023. We're going into these winter months. Faux furs are it, y'all.
Absolutely.
Faux furs are it. We actually just got in a Balenciaga. That faux fur.
Oh. It's the Papier tote.
Yeah.
And it's like a medium-sized tote, but it's this beautiful, neutral, like slate gray.
Yes. Goes with everything.
Faux fur tote.
Craziness.
So it's like functional, but it's also so fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, I don't know, I'm feeling very like après-ski, right? Like, let's go on a weekend, let's go on a weekend trip and let's go dip it and do it.
Perfect
and
handbag for Vail.
I know, let's bring some handbags that make us feel fun and flirty. And I think faux fur is such a fun trend that's going to happen. You're going to see here, like, well, it's here.
It's here.
Right? It's almost here.
Oh, it's here. It's here. Under that Y2K umbrella, as far as like trends and styles, metallics. Metallics are big.
Yep.
And chunky hardware.
Ooh. But you know what that's giving? It's giving 90s supermodel.
Yeah, right? Like people are labeling these trends Y2K, but like chunky hardware was 90s, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, I mean, is Y2K 90s? No, it's
90s. I mean, like
I'm talking like maybe late 80s, early 90s is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Like the supermodels. Like the Linda Evangelista's.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like the Naomi's.
Yes.
With the chunky, like, I'm just thinking, like, Versace
gold. Walking down
gold,
the runway in that chunky hardware.
Delicious.
Yes.
Rich.
Woo!
I don't cuss, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, I do cuss, but not on here.
Not on here, but yeah.
But speaking of chunky, speaking of big, the trend that I like the most in the trendscape that's happening here is that everyone's moving to extra, read all about it, large handbags.
Yes.
So when we talk about things like the
extra. No, but it's true. It's true.
extra, read all about it. Chanel, extra large travel totes.
Yes.
And even the resurgence of the Birkin 35 and 40.
Yes. Because they're functional for people that carry everything with them, right?
Yeah.
And so that is another trend, another thing that we're seeing into the end of like 2022 into 2023 mm-hmm. is extra beyond extra large totes.
Yeah. And I don't think that like this utilitarian functional approach to handbags is something new. I just think that everyone's tired of carrying a Tic Tac in their bag. And it's probably time, like, you know what? I'm really tired of carrying like my coffee mug, my laptop, my notebooks, like in my hand.
Yeah.
And then like my little Tic Tac and my lipstick in my other bag. And I just think that people are starting to, you know, maybe it is a testament to we might be going into a recession, right? Like people are starting to think about functionality. What's actually serving them. And I think that extra large bags in a lot of cases, mm-hmm. because people are going back to work or people are now maybe shifting to moving hybrid, extra large bags, like they just do the trick, right? Did we want to travel, we want to move around, and we need bags to hold things.
Yes. Did you see the latest or one of the newer episodes? Guys, we enjoy Bravo. Okay. That's our thing. Real Housewives.
Love.
Very much enjoy that. Real Housewives of Salt Lake. Mm-hmm. I think it was Meredith showed up to like a ski day or something. Yes. And she was rocking a keep all on her wrist.
Oh my God.
A keep all though, not a speedy, like I believe it was actually a bandolier because I think I saw a strap, but I'm not sure. But it wasn't a speedy. It was a straight up.
Do you think it was a keep all like 45?
Could have been, okay. But it was a good size. Okay,
we're gonna deep dive and find that out.
Yeah, and okay, I saw that and I was like, yes.
I actually have a keep all 45 mm-hmm. that and a 50 that I use for travel and for like moving big things around. And I think skiing or going on a trip in the winter months, like this is a really good example of like, you know what, if you want to go for a little ski mm-hmm. and then you want to sit down and have a glass of champs mm-hmm. like or a hot toddy, where are you putting your gloves and your earmuffs? You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Your a scarf
and your extra large tote.
Yes. I just listen,
because that's a trend, but it's also functionality.
Yes.
Like, it's a trend that serves a purpose.
But also, in my vain mind, the bigger the bag, the skinnier the bod.
Like wait, what? That is my theory. You know how they say, the bigger the hair, the closer to God? Oh.
I think that, but I also think the bigger the bag, the skinnier the body.
Erica, we gotta call our attorney. You gotta trademark that.
No, I'm telling you. I
trademark
think,
it.
I think it's
bigger
very,
the bag, thinner the body.
Yes. The bigger the bag. Like just visual.
That's funny.
Listen, visual ratio. The bigger, if you're standing next to something that is so big that it makes you look small, I'm a proponent.
Disclaimer,
I like it.
Disclaimer, Erica and I'm a size, true size 10. Erica's a true size 12. So, you know.
Hey. Yeah, I'm mid-size. Really? Like, I love my curves and all my things.
All
but
the
girl
things.
Wants to look snatched, too. Okay?
The bigger the bag. I can't. No, that was good. That was good. Moving into more trends and styles that are happening. Bags with bags.
What do you think it speaks back to?
Functionality. But I'm talking about bag with bag. Like, bag with, an extra large tote. With a pochette attached to it.
Ooh, it's
bag
so
with bag.
Cute. Right, because listen, I think that when we go back to how we live in our things, the idea that I have this big bag with all my things in it, but the essentials, mm-hmm. like the things that I need to be able to grab quickly, my key fob,
yep.
my access card, my phone, my wallet, my glasses. Those can live in a small pochette for the mm-hmm. easy access things. Mm-hmm. Do you need to take out your laptop at, I don't know, when you like pull up to the gas station? Probably not, right? So that's what the big bag is for.
Yeah.
And then the little bag serves its purpose. You can jump out. You can get, and I know in New Jersey, we don't pump our own, you don't pump your own gas. But
lucky ducks.
If you're in any other state, then you can pump your own gas. You can grab the little pochette and keep it moving.
Yeah. You know who does the bag on bag or the thing, the layering of bags really well?
Who?
Before it has become a trend, Monique.
I knew you were going to say her. I agree. She really makes her stuff. She has an incredible collection. If you follow her on Instagram, we actually talk about her a lot.
And we are
think
kindred
so cool.
spirits in the emerald green department.
Yeah.
But yeah, she does an exceptional job.
Yeah, she has an incredible collection of stuff. She shares it on Instagram. But she does absolutely, like, use her things and enjoy them. At least from a viewer's or follower's perspective. I feel like she is creative and she uses her stuff and she puts it on the little on her grandkids and she puts it on the whatever. Yes, like, she just really uses things, and I respect that. Like, I'll shout it from the rooftops. I think that you should use all of these things. I don't think that things should be that are meant to function should be sitting behind a glass case.
No.
Unless you're using it as artwork.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which we do. I mean, we have some, like, Chanel and Hermes scarves that we have put in frames, and that's artwork.
Oh, yeah.
But it's art. Serving a purpose, you know,
but
for
I mean,
us.
Like, a handbag.
Functional things like a handbag.
Yeah.
Or, like, pouches. And I think Monique does just an exceptional job of layering her bags.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the little mini wrist.
Yeah.
Louis.
Yeah.
She puts that on her other bags. I mean, I think it's adorable.
It's adorable.
So, bag on bag is a trend.
You know what could be cool, too? Like, if you're... Because Monique has, like, a really impressive collection. But if you're, like, just getting started in luxury, or if you don't have a huge collection, something that I think would be cool is, like, taking the Louis Vuitton key pouch mm-hmm. and putting it on a pochette and then putting those two on a Neverfull. You know what I'm saying? Like, those are... I mean, they're obviously luxury pieces. They're not inexpensive. But... You know, if that's generally like an opening product for people and a product that a lot of people have. So just think about, like, using your things in a way that looks like fun and layered. Yes. I think that's cool.
Another trend we're going to see a lot are crescent shaped bags.
I am so here for this trend.
Yes.
I love crescent bags, and just like, just a smaller, like, maybe not small, but like a hobo mm-hmm. style mm-hmm. bag. And I don't know if it's the millennial in me.
And imagine.
Where Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen were like my style idols.
Yes.
But all I want in this handbag world is for the hobo, the crescent, the single strap bag to make its debut. And I think that's happening.
Imagine, I'm just picturing an extra, extra, extra large crescent shaped tote in faux fur.
Mm-hmm.
With bag-on-bag situation happening.
Oh, my God. That's just so much. It's almost
chunky,
too much for my
chunky
brain.
Hardware. That is, like, the ultimate of ultimates right now.
Honestly, just so fun.
Oh, my God.
The bigger, the better.
Bigger, the better. So, the crescent shape. And then one of the last style that we're going to go over that is, I mean, I don't think did it ever go anywhere?
Where?
Bucket bags. Did bucket bags ever go anywhere? But I guess now it's even more of a trend. Now we're going to see it a lot more. Like, you're going to be walking down the street, you're going to see bucket bags. Bucket bag, bucket bag,
you
bucket bag,
you
want
to know why? I'm going to theorize the bucket bag trend for a moment. I think that for a while we've had a lot of these, like, tiny bags that fit a TikTok, like we just talked about. But a lot of, like, sculptural pieces were, like, really cool, but they didn't have a lot of function. And I think that bucket bags are just that really nice... like, marriage between like sculptural, right? Like mm-hmm. sculptural, but then also functional.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, you can actually use it. You can put stuff in it. And so it's giving artsy, mm-hmm. but it's also giving utilitarian.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Makes sense.
And also it looks really cute with flowers from the farmer's market in it. Because that's my favorite look.
Oh my gosh. So we are going to transition from the trending styles. Hope that was helpful to all of you. If you know of any other trending styles or you really foresee anything, leave it in the comments, DM us, let us know. We're always down to, like, hear your feedback.
You know what I do want to say mm-hmm. about, like, about these styles though? Because, like, I don't want to just talk about trends. I also want to tell you, like, these styles, because we're at the beginning of this rising trend,
mm-hmm.
what often happens at the beginning of a trend is you can find these bags and these styles on the secondhand market.
Yes.
Really low and really affordable if you get on that trend early.
Yes. Because, guys, demand drives the price,
mm-hmm.
especially on the secondary market.
Literally, it changes from day to day.
Day to day. It's so volatile, right?
It's very volatile.
It's a roller coaster.
It is.
And we actually, so for our company, we actually implemented technology. So we have, like, true market value,
real
to the day in real time. And so when we send out estimates to people that want to consign with us, they have like a 7-day window and then it expires.
Yeah.
Because the price can increase or decrease depending on the true market value in that given moment, right? So,
I mean, I'm going to give you an example. Uh-huh. This just happened. Yeezys, some of these big brands, they couldn't keep them in stock. They were going for exorbitant amounts.
No, my 10-year-old asked me for Yeezy slides a couple weeks ago. I was like, wait, what?
And they were exorbitantly expensive.
Yeah. Now.
The day that, basically the day that Adidas like parted ways with Yeezy, and even before that, a lot of companies started just pulling Yeezys off the racks.
Yeah.
Because they didn't want to work with Kanye. They didn't want to sell Kanye West endorsed products anymore.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're talking about when we mean volatility. Anything can happen.
Literally anything can impact the pricing.
Right. And then nobody wants it anymore.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right? Like from one day to the next, like it was everyone wanted it, even a 10-year-old. And then suddenly everyone's like, nope.
Yep.
No,
and
you
know what? And I can give a handbag example. When we first started this company, we couldn't keep Neverfull. It didn't matter how trashed they were. Not that we, that we like did a lot of
trash. They could have
items.
A lot of wear.
They could have a lot of wear.
Yeah.
But everybody wanted a Neverfull. They would come in. We wouldn't even get them on the site. And they would just sell.
Yeah.
Sell, sell, sell. And now I feel like TikTok has a really big part, and social media in general, had a really big part in, like, demonizing the Neverfull and making it, like, basic. And honestly, I don't care. I think Neverfulls are awesome.
And they're functional.
They're amazing bags and really easy to use. But I think that social media made, like, the trend caught on that, like, oh, Neverfulls are basic, whatever.
We disagree. And then, like, but it is what it is.
People started to, like, not really want the Neverfulls. So it drove the price down. And I'm not saying that they don't sell anymore. They certainly
they
do.
They certainly sell,
but the price has lowered.
Yeah. For example, a year and a half to 2 years ago, we could sell a Neverfull MM.
Well above retail.
Well above retail, like hotcakes. And now the demand has gone down for that specific style. So that means that the price, the value of that item has in fact gone down with it.
Well below retail.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we are moving into, we would just like to start this part of the podcast by saying luxury does tend to fare better than most industries during what looks like economic downturns.
Yep.
A lot of people are talking, it's a hot topic right now, about a potential recession. I think that the world is starting to feel it.
Yep.
In some way, shape, or form. Everyone is feeling it. And it's really hard to say that any industry in particular is ever 100% recession proof.
Totally.
Right? I mean, let's just be real here. In a recession or a possible recession, every industry will be impacted. Because every human being is impacted.
Totally.
Right?
Yep.
So we do want to say that.
Sorry.
Oh, for goodness sake. Here we go.
Go ahead. Sorry.
That when we're talking about state of the handbags, I think touching on the recession, the potential for a recession is important because we're in the business of selling handbags, but we're also in the business of helping our clients make good choices.
Yep. Absolutely.
You know, we're not trying to shove handbags down your throats. When it comes to our company, we really want to help people make smart choices as they invest their hard-earned dollars into these luxury pieces.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I think talking about it, though, is important because, like, sometimes
when we talk about a recession, it's like, how do we as business owners, but also, like, people who are shopping handbags, people who care about luxury, right? If you don't care about luxury, then I don't know, maybe this podcast isn't for you. But
thanks for listening anyway.
But thank you for listening anyway. But if you love handbags and you want to have them as a part of your life, right? Because you can, because you want to, because you have the desire to. It's like, how do you reconcile buying handbags during what seems like could be a recession?
Yes. So I would say that there are 2 to 3 main things that really drive people to purchase luxury handbags, even during economic downturns, right? And that's sustainability is one of them. They look to purchasing quality is another one. And then the potential to have an item that maybe has a little bit of return.
Yeah.
An investment of some ROI. Kind. Yeah. Some kind of ROI. And I think that in a recession, we see some people, I mean, they are cleaning out their closets. Mm-hmm. And then other people are acquiring pieces. Yeah.
There are going to be people who panic mm-hmm. early on and want to sell all their stuff. Mm-hmm. Where are they going to go? They could they're try to sell to it the themselves. Resale market for but the they're going to go part. To the resale market.
Yeah.
And then there are going to be people who look at the recession as opportunity. Mm-hmm. So they're going to acquire product.
Yes. And we're seeing both.
Right.
We can see both. We can see that people are thinking twice before they hit the add to cart button. Mm-hmm. We can see that people are cleaning out their closets to be able to just save.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Understandably
or
so.
Or just get rid, like, just save money and get rid of things that they don't need, that aren't going to serve
that
them,
they
right?
don't need that anymore.
Maybe have a high resale value at the moment mm-hmm. and they want to move before anything changes, mm-hmm. right? Because we just talked about how the volatility of the secondhand market.
Yeah. And then we also have clients that are spending at any given time on any given day $20,000 on handbags mm-hmm. and that's because they are acquiring product
mm-hmm. And they may not even be thinking about the recession just yet. Remember, this is all theory.
This is like, there also, are like some we're in the signs. Beginning stages of what's happening yeah. right?
So they may just be spending money because they have it, right? And that probably ties into what we're going to talk about next
yeah.
is why people are buying handbags.
Yeah. So to give you, I want to give just a fun fact here.
Yeah.
Fun fact. I don't know where all y'all were in 2008. Okay. In the last recession, but if you are of, our age group, mm-hmm. millennials,
yep.
nothing scares us anymore, y'all.
No.
You know why? Because when we were graduating college,
there were no jobs.
It was a recession, and I can giggle about it now, but at the time it was horrendous.
Yeah, and I will say, I know people give millennials, our age group, like a hard time.
Also, we're
but
on
now
the older
Gen
end.
Z, now that Gen Z is coming up, now we're like, I think y'all are happy with us.
I know.
Because we were raised, we were the last of the children who didn't experience like growing up with technology. We still played outside.
Yeah, we still played outside.
And we had parents who expected us to work when we graduated from college.
Yes.
That was the expectation because that was their experience.
Yeah. But I think like, obviously, there are pros and cons to every generation, right?
Totally.
And we progress as a world with every generation. But millennials, I'm speaking to y'all, we are on the elder side of millennial. I'm just saying. We're on the elder side
of
millennial.
I don't think I am.
We are. So own it.
But I'm not.
We are.
I'm 34. I think I'm right in the middle.
Okay, well, whatever. But what I'm saying is maybe I'm on the elder side of millennial. But either
we'll
way, I think when you were in 2008, it was hard. Like, I'm going to give you just for my personal experience, I was graduating from college. I had my degree in broadcast journalism. I was fully expecting that I was going to come out the gate and I was going to be, you know, like the, like, remember Ricky Lake? Remember like Katie Couric?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Katie Couric. That's who I wanted to be so badly, but in sports. I wanted to be like the female version of my dad. And I'm over here thinking, yes, I'm making it. This mm-hmm. is going to be great. Literally, y'all, I could not find a job to save my life.
Yeah, samesies.
Not even like an internship that would pay you.
No, intern, guys.
Goodness sake, there was nothing.
If you're in your 20s listening to this, you probably get paid for your internship now.
Yeah, that wasn't a thing back in the day.
When we were out of college or in college, interns were not paid. That was a luxury.
That was
a
complete luxury.
I'm not talking a Louis Vuitton Neverfull luxury.
No.
I'm talking a Birkin Himalaya luxury,
yes,
okay?
It was that kind of luxury.
The rarity.
Yeah. But we're talking about 2008 because this is a fact from NARTS. Now, if you're not familiar, NARTS is the National Association of Resale and Thrift Shops, NARTS. Okay, and they have a fun fact. Coming out of the 2008 recession, mm-hmm. more than 60% of resale stores, saw an increase in sales by 31%.
That's amazing.
Huge.
There's just so many reasons, though,
yeah,
right?
Like, but people, not just resale luxury, resale everything.
Yeah.
resale everything.
Because people then need to start making better choices, right? Yeah. Like there are definitely people within that landscape that are like, I probably shouldn't buy it at Chanel, but I could get something that's like gently used for a certain occasion, for Christmas, for a holiday, for whatever, and get it for half the price.
And then there's equity in that
item. And then there's equity in that item when the recession goes, when we come, because of what comes, goes down, what must goes come down, up.
What, yeah, what goes down actually, must come up.
I what mean, goes up must come down, but that's okay. That's,
same thing.
No.
I was
let's just say it's lead. A bouncy ball.
Okay, yeah. We'll do it that way.
I mean, it's the floor. It's got to come up.
But, you know, I mean, we can talk about 2008. It was a hard time for a lot of people.
Yeah.
We were not, or at least I was not, in the resale industry in 2008. But the resale industry in every capacity, whether it was handbags or electronics or clothes, accessories, any of that, lives to serve a purpose.
Yeah.
It is the sword and shield during an economic downturn.
Ooh.
It really is.
Preach, Monica.
It really is.
Give that sermon.
Yes.
I like that.
I'm just saying it came out so you came from the gut. That one came from the
gut. It did come out. Nice.
But no, I'm just saying the resale industry during a recession, look to the resale industry.
Yeah, absolutely.
There is resale in anything you are looking for.
Yeah. And there's also like anyone fits into that landscape, right? Like whether you're looking to buy or sell and for whatever your reasoning is, the resale market is there to help you.
Mm-hmm. So in a recession more than ever, we have to remember too that to whom much is given, much will be expected. Mm. That is something that I had printed and put all over Erica's baby shower for her son.
Monica is doing the Lord's
and work. And we did, we did like a collection, you know, in lieu of gifts, we did a collection of diapers and then we donated those diapers to a diaper bank in Miami. And honestly, we live with that in mind. We live our day to day and we run our business with to whom much is given, much will be expected.
Yep.
And so we are excited to announce that Erica and I have formed a Florida nonprofit organization.
Handbags for the people.
And you guys know that we use the term, handbags for the people quite a bit. It became a hashtag for us and, you know, we use it all the time. Now it's I believe we own it? Do we trademark it?
Yeah,
I trademark it thanks to our attorneys. Shout out to y'all. but like, we were like, how can we make an impact, a greater impact
that falls within what we already know?
Right.
Right. Like where our hearts and our minds are, how can we use that to do good?
Right. So, and honestly, I highly advise, yes, we're going into a recession, y'all, or we're expected to go into a recession, but don't forget to extend a hand because karma is real.
Mm-hmm.
And karma, you want to put, I mean, you want to put good energy out there. You want to do good things.
Yeah.
Obviously not like selfishly, like, oh, I'm trying to build good karma, but because it's going to make you feel good. It's going to contribute to that bank inside of you that is looking for something that's fulfilling.
Yeah.
Right? So like, okay, you could be struggling, but like make sure that if you have something that somebody else needs and maybe you don't need it, extend that hand.
Yes.
So handbags for the people.
Okay, where did that come from? I'm going to give you an example. Mm-hmm. We have a consignment business, Season 2 Consign, and we get a ton of submissions of handbags.
Yes.
We don't elect to sell them all.
No.
Sometimes we get bags that we don't even take those brands.
Right.
Sometimes they're a little bit more worn than we're willing to put up on the site.
Right.
It just depends on our, you know, the standards.
Some people are just trying to get rid of their handbags.
Yeah.
And they're like, please just, can I send it to you anyway?
Yeah.
Because it has, you know, the piping is exposed or it has a rip here or it's a brand that we don't sell.
Right.
Right.
So what we decided to do was create Handbags for the People. And what Handbags for the People is going to do is we are going to accept handbag donations that we are going to then fill with feminine products. So hygiene products.
Yep.
Toothbrushes, tampons, pads,
razors, deodorant,
anything we can get our hands on. And yes. we're going to create blessing bags, blessing handbags. Monica, can you tell us, I know you weren't planning on this, but can you tell us the story about your blessing bags with your kids? Because I like this story.
The blessing bag. Okay. So my kids, we were part of, a church many years ago, and we started talking about here in South Florida, there's a lot of homelessness. And so you could, and it just has, it seems to be something that's very normal, that we see just driving down to Publix. Right. And so when you're staying at, when you're sitting at a red light, my kids and my husband and I would put together blessing bags, which are Ziploc bags. And we would put like some quarters in there in case they want to go to a washing place and wash their clothes, like a laundromat.
Toothbrush, toothpaste,
deodorants, a little juice box. And then we would always put some kind of nice note.
Yeah.
And the boys were very little at that time. And so they would draw like little pictures. And then we would keep them. I actually would keep them in the passenger seat on the floor.
And like at any given, like in a crate.
And at any given time, we would, if we were at a red light, the kids would be like, "Mom, blessing bag." And then, you know, you roll the window down, you give them the blessing bag and you say, you know, I this is just a little something.
Yeah. Pay it forward.
You know, pay it forward. And so this is kind of like our season two
blessing bags,
handbags for the people version of the blessing bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like we literally sat down and we were like, what can we do? And I think this was a very like organic, this is kind of like a natural kind of next step for us. We really wanted to do something that was big and special. And I know that there are going to be people like, oh, you're going to give away like Michael Kors handbags to people with that are like homeless and frankly
that's incredibly judgmental.
Please don't think that way. But also I feel like we can't negate, as obviously as business owners, but also just as women, that handbags can oftentimes make you feel really good.
Yes.
And make you feel really powerful.
Yeah.
And like why, if we can, why wouldn't we give that blessing to someone else.
Like, why not equip someone else with the ability to maybe go on an interview?
Yes. And
feel, with a handbag.
Yes. And feel confident when they're walking in.
Yeah.
Right? Feel good about, you know, I mean, listen, we don't do clothing, so that's not part of handbags for the people, but we do handbags.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's the whole point, right?
Yeah.
We want women – anyway, so these – blessing bags are going to go to women's shelters and women's empowerment missions locally here in South Florida. And
then hopefully beyond.
And hopefully beyond.
I mean, we hope that it grows into something, you know, huge where we can make an even bigger impact. But for now, we are going to focus on South Florida. And you can donate. You can donate your handbags that maybe are not of – brands that we sell or brands that would do well on the resale market for you. Any handbag that maybe is ripped or really dirty, we're happy to take it. We're happy to try to fix it and happy to stuff it with what is necessary to be able to turn that bag into a blessing for somebody else.
Absolutely.
So you can email us. I believe it's handbagsforthepeople@season2consign.com.
It's a long one.
I know it is a long one. And you could DM us too. Just send us a DM if you're interested. You can ship the items to our office in South Florida, and we're gonna get started. Actually, next week we have an event here, a Friendsgiving event in our office in South Florida, and we're gonna be collecting handbags and all of the items to be able to stuff those handbags.
And those are gonna go as soon as we can get them out. Like we want them out before the holidays.
Yeah, like we want to be able to bless women in shelters, women who
have... And if I have to drive those bags to the end user myself, I am going to.
Yes. So that was really, that's our State of the Handbags episode. Yeah. We talked about trends. We talked about potential recession and how that impacts the handbag situation. And then we've also made our announcement of Handbags for the People.
Handbags for the People. If you would like to donate, don't forget to email us. And thank you for being here. We're really grateful.
We are.
This is season three.
This is season three of No Lux Left Behind.
Crazy. And if you haven't heard the other seasons, there's a ton of information in all of our other podcasts. So please do check it out. And thanks for being here.
If you're not already following us, we are at season2 consign on all platforms, including TikTok and Instagram. We drop knowledge and have fun on all of them.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, please consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. We have so much more to share with you. Thank you for being here, and don't forget to be fearlessly authentic.